So this tells us a secret, if I could use that word. Verse 17 tells us then that the area of our attack by the wicked ones, by the powers of darkness, is against our salvation that we possess, the greatest thing in the world. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you joining us today as Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Ephesians continues. The message today is titled, The Helmet of Salvation. Let's listen in.
In our Bibles this morning, we're going to be finished with Ephesians before we know it. We've got maybe two more sermons after today, but let's look, let's just go ahead and start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against principalities, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And now the verse for this morning, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're only going to cover the first part of verse 17 this morning. We are going to take a helmet. And this helmet has a specific name. It's called salvation. The fifth piece of armor that we need to put on, it's the helmet called salvation. And, you will never, number one, walk worthy of our calling. Remember, worthy is a set of weights, meaning a balanced walk, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you do God's word. We have to have on the helmet of salvation. If we do not do that, this invisible enemy that we are against, who is defeated, will defeat you, who will torment you. And loved one, listen, we don't want that. We want to keep him in his proper place, and that is in the arena of defeat. Amen? In verse 17 now, it says, take the helmet of salvation. Again, the word take is important. It's a command. But the interesting thing about that, it's not the same word in the other scriptures where it says to take. The word take here is different in the Greek, and it literally means you need to receive the helmet of salvation. You need to accept it immediately, or better yet, you need to grasp it and make it your very own. Now, question, is there anyone here on this early service this morning? Say that Jerry Jones, is that his name? Let's say that Jerry Jones looked at you and said, hey, man, I would like you to play for the Dallas Cowboys. The only problem is you're not going to be able to wear a football helmet when you're out there playing. Is that very smart? No. I mean, listen, think about that for a minute. I mean, how many blows can a headless or a headless helmet or whatever you want to call it, how many blows can you take before you go, I'm gone? You see what I'm getting at? Well, the word here is it's a helmet. So what does a helmet do? Well, the helmet is like a football helmet. Let's just use that in a natural setting. In other words, what does a football helmet do? It protects your head. It protects your head from, well, your brain is there supposedly, right? You have your brain, your thinking, your understanding. Everything is right there. You put that helmet on, and when you get hit, a blow to the head, you hope it's going to protect you. Amen? But whenever you put on and you take the helmet of salvation and you truly understand what it is and you put it on and believe what it means, then you know what happens? You're protected. This right here, you're protected. Loved one, listen, if you have a, God forbid, you know, like if you have a brain injury, does it affect the entire body? Man, I raised up the other day at home. You know how you leave a cabinet door open and you bend down to put a pot underneath there and you raise it back? Has that ever happened to you? Did you like it? No. I was like, I wanted to rip that thing off the wall, man. I couldn't see. I was seeing stars and visions, and I thought I was in heaven. And no. So listen, we don't want our thinking, our understanding, this part of our body exposed. We don't want to be injured at all, meaning spiritually, okay? No, listen, the helmet protects the weakest area of our body in warfare, and that is our minds, the place where Satan always attacks. Man, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan has damaged a lot of Christians' thinking, hasn't he? He really has. He delivers a blow. Listen, Satan cannot kill the soul, but boy, he can damage the mind. If you don't put on the helmet of salvation, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But here's the problem, is that we get confused, or many people get confused, when it says the helmet or take the helmet, and then it uses the word salvation. Don't be confused by the word salvation. Question. Ephesians, the prison epistle, Paul writing to the Ephesian church from Rome. Who was he writing to? He was writing to the saints of God, amen? He was writing to people that were already saved. He was writing to believers. It's important that we understand that. Listen, the Ephesian people, again, they were already saved, and only a Christian can put on the whole armor of God. Only a believer, someone who is already saved, can stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, we have to remember then, if we're going to understand our text, we have to remember that our context has nothing to do, in a sense, with salvation, although it does. We're talking now about warfare, aren't we? Okay, that's so important. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells us a secret, if you will, if I could use that word. Verse 17 tells us then that the area of our attack by the wicked ones, by the powers of darkness, is against our salvation that we possess, the greatest thing in the world, amen? Knowing that we are saved. So he wants to come against the believer's assurance of salvation. He wants to come against not only that, but the security that we have in Christ. And here's what he does. And it's happened to all of us at once in our life, maybe as a baby Christian or older, doesn't matter. It's happened. The evil one, or the powers of darkness, whatever is out there in that realm that's unseen, that hates God and hates us, you know what? He has at times made us question our salvation, hasn't he? Whether we're truly saved. Or am I really born again? Or can I lose my salvation? Oh God, look what happened to me. I fell and I got into this mess. And Lord, I mean, am I lost and can I lose it, or whatever? Listen, the helmet of salvation protects your mind. You have to do that if you are unarmed, if you don't put on the fifth piece of armor. So the helmet of salvation, loved one, you know, I love what J. Vernon McGee said. He said this. He said, the plume on the top of the helmet is Christ Jesus. So when we think about our salvation, we have to look to Jesus. Amen? See, Christ is our salvation. Remember when the angel appeared unto Joseph and so forth? I don't know what, Matthew 1:21? You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's us and the Jews as well. Now listen, Jesus is our salvation. Whenever old Simeon, remember the old prophet in Luke's gospel, and remember how the Holy Spirit had promised him, said, you will not see death, Simeon, until you see God's salvation. And remember what Simeon did? He came into the temple, and there was Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and he took baby Jesus up into his arms, and he said this. He said in Luke 2:29, he said, oh, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word and that promise that was made to him. And here's what he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Amen. Now, I know that when I talk about salvation this morning, it's important that I do. And I know it's like class 101. We should all understand about our salvation and being saved. Amen? But it's important that I talk about it because, see, Satan attacks your mind. So you have to, in this battle, I have to do it. We all have to do it. I have to think, when I think about me, my relationship with God, a relationship with Christ, I have to think me saved. Do you understand? I have to think that way. I mean, that has to be paramount. And not only just one day a week, I have to do that 24/7. We train our mind. So to take the helmet of salvation means that by faith, you believe in the absolute, perfect, finished work of Jesus Christ for us. Amen? There's nothing else left to be done. So I'm going to give you scriptures this morning. And you know these scriptures, but it's imperative that you hear it again. Romans 1:16. Remember what Paul shouts out? He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of whom? The gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation." Did you get that? It's the power to be saved. The power unto God to salvation. The divine energy of God. To everyone who believes, to the Jew, to the Gentile, for in it, meaning in the gospel it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for the just shall live by what? Faith. Okay, there we go. That's so simple, but it's not simple. Listen, we are born from above, and the devil wants to make you think that you're not sometimes, and you've got to protect your mind. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is power, loved one. And here's what's so wonderful. The gospel is all about Jesus. Salvation is all about Jesus. It's not what you've done for God. It's what Jesus has done for you. Amen? Oh, listen, it's not based on your behavior. All of a sudden, oh, Lord, if I'm going to be good enough, will you love me? And, you know, no, it's based on do you believe or not. And if you believe, you will start behaving. Do you understand? Oh, yeah. Listen to this now. Talking about the helmet of salvation. It says in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, that's past tense, okay, whom God knew beforehand. In other words, in eternity, those that he's called. He says, he also predestined or marked out, determined beforehand. He predestined, he says, those to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, there are those that say, oh, wow, that word predestined is a bad word. God predestines people to hell. No. There's no predestination. This just only has to do with the saved. Did you know that? What is the goal of God picking you and choosing you in eternity? Here's the goal of predestination, for you to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen? Okay, so listen, that's salvation. Whenever you are in a war, you have to know those things. You have to get that down into your heart, into your mind. I'm not talking about just knowing them. They have to be alive here, not up here. Amen? It's the living word of God. You have to know with all of your heart that God chose you. He wants you. He picked you. Amen? No matter what the devil says. No matter what some false teacher may say. Well, you've got to have that down in your heart. Moreover, whom he, meaning God, predestined, remember, marked out, that's past tense beforehand. These he also called, and whom he called, that's past tense. He also justified. Well, you know what that word means. I don't need to go back and teach it again. Just as if you had never sinned. Amen? He justified you. He declared you righteous in his sight. Christ's perfect record is now your perfect record, loved one. He says he also justified, and in whom he justified, that's past tense again, listen carefully, he also glorified. Now, that's past tense, even though that, loved one, is a future event. It's the word he is used six times. God is the author of your salvation from the very beginning to the very end. Amen? Listen, those verses are so important, and they're so certain that God himself speaks as though it was already done. And here's the deal. If you don't believe that, someone has either stolen your helmet or you have never put that helmet on. You see, listen now, the word predestined, called, justified, glorified that I was reading from Romans 8, listen carefully, did you know every one of those words are in the past tense? So from God's eternal perspective, they are already completed and they can never, ever be altered. Do you understand? Listen, the helmet of salvation. The devil doesn't want you to rejoice in that. That right there, we should have tambourines going off right this minute. Do you understand? We should be jumping and shouting. It's over. Our salvation, he has us. Do you understand? Man, you put that helmet on. Listen, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, does he lose sheep? No, well, one of them gets away. What does he do? He goes out and he gets it. They keep doing it again and again. What does he do? He breaks their leg. Yeah. Cooper, he's a good shepherd. You're going to be dependent on me now the rest of your life. You're not going to run away from me anymore. Listen, God is the one who's doing the work in us. Amen? So when you start thinking about putting on the helmet of salvation, you're going to be attacked by the wicked one. He wants to mess with your mind. Listen, salvation means this. Past tense. We just covered all this. I have been saved immediately from sin's penalty. Think about that. Okay? That's I have on my helmet. Now, that's past tense. That's justification. Not only that, here's present tense. I am being saved progressively from sin's power. That's sanctification. Let me give you this one. I shall be saved ultimately from sin's presence. That's future tense. That is glorification. That is when we're in heaven, sin is gone forever, amen, and we have our brand new bodies. You have to put that helmet on. When those blows start coming against you, you need to say, no, I know who I am. I know who I believe. I know what Christ has done for me. Ephesians 2:8, we covered it months ago. It says, for by grace, not law, not works, not by voting for Republicans or Democrats. Do you understand? We have been saved by what? Grace. It's not your grace. You don't own it. It's God's grace, his unmerited, unconditional, unearned, unmerited favor directly from God. He loves us, man. It says, for by grace you've been saved. Now listen, in the Greek, that's a completed action. It doesn't mean you're going to be saved. Oh, save me. No. It's a completed action. The one who started that good work is going to finish it. Amen. God sees it as done. He sees you as seated in Christ right now in the heavenly places. Put that helmet of salvation on your head. You don't need it. Never, ever fear. And that's what the devil wants you to do. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's the channel, the key. And it says, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. A gift can't be earned, loved one. Not of works. No, the work was completed on the cross. Lest anyone should boast. Now listen to me. You put the helmet of salvation on. You are not going to receive any more grace from God. Do you understand that? No, loved one. Romans 5:2. You stand in the grace of God 24/7. You can't get out of the grace of God. Do you understand? Oh, God, I need more grace. He said, I'm not giving you any more. He says, you have all the grace you're going to get. You have all of my grace right now, and you have it forever and ever and ever. And if you don't believe that, you've been taking off your hat. You're letting the devil slap you in the head. You're letting him knock the word of God out of you. Do you understand me? See, we've got to have that on. It says in Romans 5:6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He took our place. Amen? The substitutional sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for me as me. Man, it's never to be repeated. It's only happened one time. It'll never be duplicated. It'll never be surpassed. Do you understand? It's done. He says, but God demonstrates or proves his own love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to me. I hear it all the time in counseling, on telephone counseling, Zoom counseling. I'm a Zoom counselor now. Zoom. I Zoom right in, and if I don't like it, I Zoom out. No. No, listen. God demonstrates his own love toward us, you. He died for us. Now, so listen, you're not going to get any more of God's love. Oh, the devil won't say, God doesn't love you. Look what you've done. Oh, look at you. You think God loves you now? Do you understand what I'm getting at? No, listen, you're not going to get any more of God's love. And the reason you're not going to get any more of God's love is because you've already received all of his love, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he put him on the cross. He demonstrated his own love for you. Do you understand? For God so loved the world. What did he do? He loved you so much. He poured out all of his love. What did he do? Take my son. Let him bear the wrath of God, the sin of your sin. Do you understand? Your punishment, your crime. He was without sin. He was innocent. Oh, the Bible teaches us about the love of God. It's, behold, the love of God. It's from another, like another planet, that we can be called the children of God. Oh, what manner of love the Bible talks about. A love that is unconditional, a love that never changes. Oh, loved one, listen, we need to, our thinking, put that helmet on or the devil will be slapping you. You understand? He wants your thinking. He wants your mind. So we take the helmet of salvation, which means this. We believe by faith in the perfect, finished work of Jesus Christ for man. But there's nothing more to be done. Listen, you know what's sad? You know, I was looking at the words this morning and not being critical of any songs that were picked or anything, but I was looking at the words. And, oh, I'll just take another song. I don't want to pick on that any song. But we sing, oh, I'm free, and, you know, whom the John 3, what, 36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you believe that? We sing that, but are you free? Do you believe you're free? Do you act like you're free? Do you understand what I'm getting at? See, if not, I'm going to tell you why. You've got to put that cap, that hat, that helmet on your head right this minute. Listen, you can't remove the lies of the wicked one without the helmet of salvation. You have to renew your mind. You have to put on God's truth. My life verse, that I was saved. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you or make you free. And that's what I want. You walk through this world, and if you don't have the helmet of salvation on, you know what happens? Here comes a crisis. Here comes a problem. Here comes a financial issue, a health issue, whatever it might be. And you know what? The helmet of salvation says this, thanks be unto God, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, past tense, you ready? Who has what? Blessed us, past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, listen to me. That is a past fact. No, yes, a past fact, a present fact, and it's also a present possession. That is the reality of every believer. You right this minute, you are blessed. You have been pronounced blessed by God. Amen? You see, when you have the helmet of salvation on, you can stand. You can stand your ground. And you can say, I don't care what I'm facing. I'm telling you what, I don't need to ask God for a blessing. I have them all. But you have to believe you have them all. Does that make sense? We cry out, oh God, I need more love. And he goes, I've already given you all the love you're going to get. Romans 5:5, it's already there in your heart. Amen? Oh, I need more peace. I need more strength. Oh, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. You see, that's the helmet of salvation. You stand. Your mind is clear. You know the word of God. Man, you don't need any more peace. You already have. Jesus said, I give unto you my peace. Amen? See, you have to believe that. Not just, well, I know this scripture and, you know, I think it's going to be okay and, you know, and so forth. No. My helmet that I put on, and I have to fight just like you fight. I have to believe God's word just like you have to believe God's word. I walk in victory, whether I feel like it, think about it, or whatever. I know I am victorious because I'm in the one who's overcome this world. Amen? But see, that's the helmet of salvation. You've got to believe it with all of your heart. Not just, well, I know it's here. No, it's right here. It's with the heart man believes, loved one. By faith, we believe all of those things. When you start thinking about who we really are, you know, do you ever just dwell on that? That you have been, loved one, you have been fully chosen in him, meaning Christ, before the foundation of this world, in eternity, before time, before there were angels and cherubims and anything, just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God says, I knew your name. You've heard me teach it. Your name is as old as God, and God is eternal. Do you really believe that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world? You have been fully chosen in him. That's the helmet of salvation. You put that on and you say, listen, I am not only fully blessed, I'm fully chosen, I'm fully adopted, I'm fully redeemed. My sins are forgiven forever in Jesus. Do you follow me? You see, that is the helmet of salvation. You put that on.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, so please tune in again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray the remainder of your day is blessed. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.